Let's bow for prayer. Lord, you said to your disciples that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that you are the way to the Father, and that anyone who knows you knows the Father. Teach us what that means. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. This morning we come to the second of our messages on Jesus' I Am sayings. These sayings are memorable parts of John's gospel used to describe Jesus' life and ministry. And in John, there are seven of these I Am sayings. And our focus is perhaps the most memorable and quoted of these sayings. I am the way, the truth, and the life. As Eugene Peterson says in his book, The Jesus Way, the Jesus Way wedded to the Jesus truth brings about the Jesus life. The order, in other words, is important. And Peterson goes on to say that because truth is given far more attention than the way, and that the way is the most frequently evaded metaphor among Christians with whom he has worked, it is important to start at the beginning, as does our text this morning. Peterson writes, "We cannot escape the way of Jesus in our hurry to get to the truth of Jesus as he is worshiped and proclaimed. The way of Jesus is the way we practice and come to understand the truth of Jesus. Living Jesus in our homes, in our workplace, with our friends and our family." Or as Arthur Paul Boers said in another book he wrote, "The way is made by walking." From an early age, the idea of life as a journey was part of my understanding. My mother read to her youngest children anyway, I don't know about the older ones, she read to us the story of Pilgrim's Progress, which was essentially a way of understanding the life of the Christian. We sang songs of life as a pilgrimage, journeying through good times and bad in order to get to the end and the reward of heaven. So this world ain't my home and just a passing through, for example, and other songs of that nature. But the depths of meaning that the phrase John cites here of Jesus saying about himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," it's begun to work a different process and a new revelation in my own life over the past 10 years. And for some strange way, or some strange reason, the less I'm able to walk, the more I want to walk. And the more I am interested and fascinated about walking. What is that? I don't get that. Books, movies, experiences, conversations have all combined to offer an exciting and challenging area of growth for me as I continue to understand what following Jesus means and how truly Jesus is the way. I want to divide my talk here mostly into two parts. The first one I've entitled, "The Way Has to Do with Our Ends, Our Goals, Our Purposes in Life, The Aims We Have," or as we might say, "The way has to do with the way to God." Our text this morning follows Jesus' celebration of Passover with his disciples. They've broken bread with him, and he's told them that he will go away. Naturally, they want to go with him. That is why they've been doing what they've been doing for the past 3 years. They want to follow him. But Jesus tells them that he will go away from them and then come back to them and collect them. They want to know where he's going. And Jesus says they already know the way he is going. He's going to his Father, and then he's coming back for them. Therefore, they know the way. Thomas, one of his disciples, remonstrates, saying that they don't know where he's going. They don't know where Jesus' Father's house is. So how would they know the way? Then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through or by me. Jesus has already told the disciples that the conceptions they have of what God is doing is mind-blowingly different from the world as it was. Whereas Israel's leaders saw a restoration of God, Israel's glory years, Jesus suggests that a whole new world, or more accurately, a restoration of this world, is God's true intention through Jesus. The temple, rather than being a place where sacrifices are made, will become the place where heaven and earth again meet. Righteousness, generosity, peace, love, justice, shalom will characterize the relationships of God's people. And so to the disciples, Jesus says, if you want to get to the Father's house where I am, you have to do it through me. It's my way, or it's the wrong way. At one remove, this seems to us terribly arrogant. In an age where a proliferation of religions, self-help programs, and other perspectives have become popular and in competition with one another, the way of Jesus seems almost out of touch and hopelessly narrow-minded. We should be talking about the ways of Jesus. Surely this perspective is against the spirit of our age, where the inclusion of all spiritual paths to God, the democratic principles of all religions, are given equal weight. But perhaps the converse is true. There seems in Scripture to be a particularity of Christian faith that can't be removed without altering all of its claims. Or, if you dethrone Jesus, you do enthrone something else. To say this differently, if you remove the particular claims of Jesus about himself or about his message from the Christian faith, you remove the message of Christian faith altogether. Yes, the church has been arrogant and bullying in the way it's presented the good news. But the presentation has issued in a complete denial of the words and example of Jesus, whom the church has always claimed to represent. The truth and life of Jesus' ministry shows us the way in which Jesus intends for us to journey with him. He says, if you want to follow me, do as I do. And then he gives them this wonderful example at the end of his time with the disciples. He serves one another by washing their feet. Don't think that this action is beneath you, he says. Copy my example as the one who would give up his own life for the sake of his sheep. Over time, the church has exchanged its mission from serving others to that of arbitrating the question of who is in and who is out. It has occupied itself with the building and supporting of civil religion, and it's defended the prosperity, or the life of prosperity, health, and power found among richer countries and civilizations. Scripture reminds us, don't come with a set of fixed ideas of who God is and then try to fit Jesus into that. Rather, look at who Jesus is and you will know the Father. The Jesus you know and love, the Jesus who wept at the tomb of Lazarus, who washed his followers' feet, then you'll see the true God. In a recent conversation, Walter Brueggemann stated that the message of the Christian faith is essentially political and social. He says, most people think the Bible is about personal happiness, personal well-being, being with God when you die, and being privately moral. But, he says, that's not what the Bible is about. The prophets are moral teachers, but what they're talking about is public morality. You can open the books of the prophets anywhere and you'll find them talking about widows and orphans, immigrants and poor people. They talk about wages. They talk about unjust wage scales or measuring scales. They talk about the greed that skews the economy. They say that injustice will lead to destruction. It's an unavoidable message. So it's just amazing how in our habitual reading, we've siphoned off the energy from those accent points into stuff that is less demanding and less costly. The core issues of Scripture are public, political, and economic justice. Justice is central to Jesus' ministry. It is central to the prophetic tradition of the Old Testament. It's central to the Torah tradition that lies behind the prophetic traditions. But he says, I think we have learned for comfort's sake to misread the Bible. In another book currently coming into print, a friend of mine has written that to understand discipleship in the way that Jesus did, the church has once again to become completely transparent in its love, in its service to others, and in its openness. And he says that the global church has much to teach us, not the other way around. Rather, we jealously guard ourselves from these questions, from the way in which that great spiritual writer Thomas A. Kempis wrote in the 13th century, 14th century, in a book called The Imitation of Christ. So, the way of Jesus is the way to God. Secondly, this way that Jesus talks about as I am the way has to do with the means by which God meets us. Our text also indicates the means by which God has condescended to meet us. God's method of bridging the immense gap between us and God is not a code, it's not a book or a spell or a free pass, but life. A life, the life of Jesus, God's Son. And so if Jesus is the way for us to live our lives, fulfilling our created ends or purposes as God intended us to be, Jesus is also the way in which God made this very reality possible. John's gospel is essentially the unified account of how Jesus' purpose in coming to earth was to incarnate God and prepare through his death and resurrection the way back to God, which sin and the disorientation which followed had brought about. The gospel of John is the way God found us and made it possible to be reconciled in every way with God. Jesus is the means of reconciliation used by God. And John 1 says that this was intended from the beginning. He says this is already built into the whole creation narrative. Who is God? Look at Jesus. How did God bridge the gap between us and God? Look at Jesus. What did God in Christ do? Look at Jesus. What was the cost of this reconciliation? Look at Jesus. And then what was the result of Jesus' reconciling work? look at Jesus. In other words, Jesus is the measure by which we realize the depths of God's love for us, the suffering and the pain he endured for us, the life he lived to model the way we are to live, and the new life he offers us right now as the adopted children of God. The whole of John's gospel shows the way in which Jesus' life is a picture of God and the way in which God reaches out to God's world to bring it back to reconciliation and wholeness. The way, as understood in Scripture, is a metaphor. It is a figure of speech which allows each of us to enter into its meaning in a dynamic and creative way. It can mean a path or a road. It can also mean a mechanism by which one is empowered to be on this road or path in the first place. Jesus is both at once. Jesus shows us the way. Jesus is the way. Heraclitus, a pre-Socratic philosopher of ancient Greece, wrote one of the few aphorisms that found its way to our time and place. He wrote, "The way up and the way down is the same way." This is especially true in the case of Jesus as the way. The way we come to God is the same way God comes to us. God comes to us in Jesus, we come to God in Jesus. It is the same way, the Jesus way. God comes to us in Jesus, speaking the words of salvation, healing our infirmities, promising the Holy Spirit, and teaching us how to live in the kingdom of God. It is in and through this same Jesus that we pray to God, that we hear, that we believe, that we obey, that we love and praise God. Jesus is the way that God comes to us. Jesus is the way we come to God. The way up and the way down is the same way. Peterson writes, "Jesus is the way of salvation. We follow his way. Jesus is the way of eternal life. We follow his way. The way Jesus does it is the way we do it. Jesus is the way we come to God." Period. End of discussion. This notion of the way has taken on a new energy and interest in recent years in Christian and other religious and secular contexts. Earlier on in the history of Christian faith, the wanderings of ancient monks became the way in which they acted out this movement from history to eternity, from the known to the unknown, from the prosaic to the mystical. And they did it in the form of walking. Walking and the practice of going on pilgrimages has become popular again, at least in some of our contemporary circles. How many people do we know from around here who have walked the Camino in full or in part in recent years? How many people that we know have perhaps taken part of a walk along the Pilgrim's Way to Canterbury? I remember a number of years ago, Bible study that was formed from some people in this congregation looked at Nelson Craybill's book Along the Canterbury Trail. Some of us have gone to Iona. Some of us have gone to Lindisfarne. both places in Britain, in which some of the Celtic monks founded and lived for many years. Israel-Palestine has become a source, perhaps a destination for many people wishing to gain depth of understanding and perhaps also to learn by walking the nature of part of their faith. I just heard of a couple that walked the distance from Wittenberg to Rome this year in order to celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The idea of Jesus as the way is important for us as we re-engage our Christian faith. If we as disciples of Jesus Christ renew our vision of discipleship as of walking the way of and with Jesus, we will come to learn much more deeply the truths about what it means to follow Jesus. Here are a couple of things. Walking is slow. In our society, where the value and need for speed are continually thrust upon us, the journey with Jesus will take a lifetime. There's nothing fast about it. Secondly, walking has its own rhythm and logic. I've heard many times from those who have gone on a Christian pilgrimage that the walk has its own meaning and will teach you what you are to gain from your walking. You don't get to choose that yourself. Thirdly, walking can be hard and painful, like life. And like life, some are better equipped for walking than others. But some also will not get much from it if they are not open to it. And fourth, the physical way of walking can and often does give way to the spiritual way in terms of what it signifies and means for you. Jesus reminds us that we are always sojourners moving along the way. That's what being a disciple meant and means. Arthur Paul Boers cites the writer Scott Russell Saunders, in his book, The Ways Made by Walking. He writes, "Pilgrims often journey to the ends of the earth in search of holy ground, only to find that they never walked on anything else." The physical pilgrimage, the physical journey, only highlights the spiritual journey we accept when we follow Jesus, when we walk in the way of Jesus. As we engage this journey, let us remember the one who called us to follow him, who supplies our every need, and who welcomes us when we reach the end of our journey. Praise be to God.